Let's open with a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we love you, and we thank you for this time this morning, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing in our body, Lord, on every level and every way. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing a work in our hearts even now. Thank you that you're faithful to finish that work unto the day of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing we could do to work this up or to earn it, but you're just that loving and that kind and that good. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together with these brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Father, we welcome your Spirit's presence here now. We ask that you would open up the Scriptures to us, open our minds to the Scriptures, give us understanding, give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are. We ask in Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm going to be trying to converse and open up my app here, but let me just ask this question. Speaking of art, has anybody ever tried to like draw God? You have, okay. A couple, good, good. It's have you been successful with it? No, yeah. I don't draw, but I get in my imagination sometimes, and I think about what does God look like, God, I see a throne, I see, you know, he's in a robe, and I see legs, and his torso, his arms are on the arms of the throne, I see his chest, and up, and then his face is just light, and I'm like, well, that doesn't really do much. We've got these, I mean, Hollywood helps too sometimes. Of course, in my generation, it was Charlton Heston and George Burns. Remember those? And then lately, it's been Morgan Freeman or Octavia Spencer. Right? These faces of God that we try and get our minds around. But it's difficult. But then we find out he has a son. And so we think of God as a father. We got a father and a son. And Jesus is a little bit easier, right? Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus was a male. Jesus was Jewish. Jesus was around 30 years old, and he lived 2,000 years ago. Okay, we placed him in time and space and given him features, and he's a son, and there's a father, and we're good with that. We can understand that there's this dad, son, father, son relationship going on, and we feel comfortable with that. But then all of a sudden, we hear about this thing called the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're not even trying to put a face to that. All we can do is give symbols, and even those aren't real clear. We got fire and water. We got a dove. We got wind. He just gets symbols. But what is this Holy Spirit, or who is this Holy Spirit, and what does he have to do with this whole father-son dynamic over here? And Hollywood doesn't help either with that, does it, when we hear about things like the Force or Eastern mysticism and all that? It's interesting, as you look at the Old Testament, you see very clearly there's God, there's Yahweh, and there's His Spirit. And the question is, well, who's His Son? Who's this Messiah? Who's coming as His anointed one? And in the New Testament, in this church age, we understand God and the Father, but in our current day, sometimes we wonder, who's the Holy Spirit? Francis Chan wrote a book called The Forgotten God. I haven't read it, but the title is perfect, isn't it? So what we're going to do over the, I'm going to take 6 weeks here. In the first 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the second half of that, the last 3 weeks, we're going to be going into talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to get to all of them. We're going to talk about the big ones. We're going to talk about prophecy. We're going to talk about healing. We're talking about the gift of tongues. So there's just a lot here that God has given to us, that He's made available to us, and we wanna jump in, and we wanna see what God's word has to say about us. All of us, we all have history, some good, some bad, something in between. I grew up in a church culture where it was, here's a nice outline about the Holy Spirit, but watch out. All right. And so you got biblical information, but don't touch it. Right? And then on the other hand, you've got other extremes which aren't healthy. So we're gonna get into this today, and we're gonna talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing is you gotta set the Holy Spirit up in the context. And when you're introducing somebody to someone else, you give them a context. You give them some sort of rapport. So if I'm introducing my brother-in-law, Craig, I say he's my brother-in-law. Our wives are sisters. He works at the high school. I give you a context so that you can understand and relate to where he's at and who he is and what he's doing. And so the Holy Spirit is this third person of what we call the Trinity. Now the word Trinity is not in Scripture. The word Trinity is a theological term that describes the dynamics and the information that we're given from Scripture. So, the idea of the Trinity is this. First of all, there's one God. God is one. And within that one God, there are these three distinct persons of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all God, they are all persons, and they interact with each other. They are distinct, yet they are all God. This is starting to get a little confusing, but each person is fully God. Now, at this point, our brains just stop. Because we're good with understanding like some sort of triad, tribunal, council of deities, three persons. Like that, we can get our heads around. And we're good with one God. But somehow we end up putting this together, and our minds say we can't handle that at this point. In which case, welcome to the club. Theologians and scholars have been trying to figure out the best way to express this. I read one just as I was preparing this past week. He said, this is the glory of the church, and we have no idea what it means. Right? Like it's a wonderful mystery, and more we can tell you what it isn't than we can tell you what it is. But there is one God, and within God there are three distinct persons. Each person is fully God. You can say the Father is God. You can say Jesus is God. You can say the Holy Spirit is God. There are three distinct persons, but they all are fully God, and they all share the same attributes of God. So what you say about the Father, you can say about the Holy Spirit. What you say about the Son, you can say about the Father. So as Jesus says, be merciful as your Father is merciful, you could say be merciful as Jesus is merciful, because they are one God, there is one God, they are all God, they are equal, and there are three distinct persons within the Godhead. So they all share the same functions, and they are all fully God. They're not parts of God. They're not God in different forms. They are all fully God. Atheists call this bad math. But what we need to understand is we worship a God who is beyond our comprehension. I don't want to worship a God that I can figure out. And I really want us to grasp this, because we use words sometimes that we think we know, but we really have no ability to relate to. Words like infinity. We even come up with a little symbol. It's a line with two arrows at either end. And we say that describes that line goes on forever. And we imagine forever, but the reality is as soon as we get to that point, there's more forever beyond that. And that's just in one direction. There's a whole sphere, 360 degrees, three-dimensional of eternity that we don't know about. We don't understand this word eternity, but yet we serve an eternal God who is infinite in wisdom in all his ways, right? So he's bigger and beyond us. And as soon as we think we can understand eternity, then we'll get this one God with three persons in it. But that goes to show, and it explains why sometimes we try and come up with these pictures or these illustrations to explain this idea of the Trinity, but the reality is that they all fall short, because he's not like anything that we know or anything that we can really explain. So we come up with ideas like, well, the Trinity is like water, right? It's vapor, it's liquid, and it's solid, but it's all H2O. Well, the problem is the attributes of vapor aren't the same as the attributes of liquid aren't the same as the attributes of solid. So it falls short, doesn't it? Or maybe the Trinity is like an egg. There's a shell, there's a white, there's a yolk. Three in one. That works, doesn't it? No, because these are just different parts of the egg. One God, three persons. Each person is fully God. Or sometimes we say, well, it could be like a man. Like I'm a pastor, but I'm a husband, and I'm a father. But that's just one man in three roles. God is one God in three persons. And each of those persons actually interacts with each other. Pastor Aaron doesn't talk to Dad Aaron. Right? That's just weird. So we get it that we really don't have a really good grasp on what this is, and I want to try. I know some of us work in different ways. So here's just sort of a visual that I found. It's kind of the closest thing I can find. But the Father is not the Son. But the Father is God. The Son is not the Father, but the Son is God. The Holy Spirit is not the Father or the Son, but the Holy Spirit are God. All three are God, and they're distinct, and they have relationship with one another. Theologian Wayne Grudem, I just sort of snapped this out of out of my theology book. All right? But you see that they're all one God. They're all distinct. They're not parts of God. And they interact with each other. One God, three persons. God is one. He exists in three persons. Each person is fully God. But where do we see this in Scripture? So let's work our way through this. In the beginning, in the Old Testament, very first few verses there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, God spoke, His word went forth, let there be light. We see the will of God, the word of God, and the working of God, all working in perfect unity and cooperation to accomplish something. Three different persons, one God, one intent. And we see these three working together, the will, the word, and the work. And we look at, you know, it's interesting, when God created the heavens and the earth, He started with the heavens and the earth and He ended with one man. But as He goes in to do the new creation, He starts with one man and He's going to end with the new heavens and the new earth. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, everything about Him, He was accomplishing, He was the Word of God accomplishing the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit on His life. The will of God doing the work of God, or the word of God accomplishing the will of God by the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, even in our lives, John says this in chapter 1, that you weren't born, you were born of the will of God. Peter says that we were born of the imperishable seed, the word of God. And John, Jesus says in John chapter 3 that we're born of the Spirit. So even in us, as new creations, we are accomplishing the will of God by the word of God, by the work of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit. We see all three of these are God. Each person is at work within us as believers. But let's look on. There's more here in the Old Testament. As we go through this, where there's this plurality of the persons that are in the one God. When God goes to create man, He says, let us make mankind in our image. When man fell, when Adam and Eve fell, God said, the man has now become like one of us. At the Tower of Babel, God said, let us go down and confuse their language. And even Isaiah, when he sees the Lord gives a call saying, who will go for us? So even though it's not clear, it's not vague, there is this plural dynamic of the three persons within the one God. Jesus quotes David in the Psalms. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Either God said, I will not share my glory with another. So either He's contradicting Himself here, or there's a plurality of distinction, yet equality. There's a plurality of distinction, and yet both are equal. Daniel, he has a vision and he sees the Ancient of Days and he sees one like the Son of Man coming and being seated beside the Ancient of Days, receiving power and glory and honor and worship which belong to the one God alone, but yet the Son of Man comes. And so again, distinct yet one, distinct and equal. So there's the Old Testament. Let's look in the New Testament. Jesus, when he gives the Great Commission, he says, when you go, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If this was just God in three different forms, it's actually repetitive and silly. But he's saying, baptize them in the name of the person of the Holy Spirit, and the person of Jesus, and the person of the Father. And we see in the New Testament, the writers use this phrase, God for Father, Lord for Son. And the fact that they would use Lord for Christ shows that they consider that Jesus was also fully God. Three persons, one God. Each person is fully God. But as we go through, I'm going to fly through these. And if you're taking notes, just write down the reference and you can look them up later so you don't get swamped or overwhelmed. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, that's Jesus. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Ephesians chapter 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, to God's elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled in blood. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. And here's the one I think is the clincher for me, is that, I actually deleted it from the screen, from the shot up here, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And throughout the New Testament, you hear the Holy Spirit referred to as both the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of God. Three distinct persons, one God. Each person is fully God. But if we look here in John, this is a lot of theological teaching, I know, but here's where it just explodes on us. Here's where this thing just hits us, and we're like, well, we've gotten into something amazing here. Because Jesus says this. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever. And Jesus goes on in verse 23, he says, and anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. When you place your faith in Christ, when you surrender your life to him, we say the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. Here's something amazing. When the Holy Spirit comes, he brings Jesus and the Father with him. You get the fullness of God in you. Not only the fullness of God, you get the fellowship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in you. Jesus, when he's praying, he says, Father, I want them to experience unity with me, with you, with one another, I in them, you in me, them in us, you in me, I in them. It's this amazing dynamic of the fullness of God in the person of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God, and he's in us, and he brings the Father and the Son and the fellowship that they share. But as we land here today, I want to highlight this idea of the person of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, when he talks about the Holy Spirit, he doesn't say it. He says he. Which again, if the Holy Spirit's a person, we got to examine some of our language, because sometimes we say you got to plug into the power. But you don't plug into a person. It changes our prayer life, because we're talking to a person. If this is just a force, then what are those little, I'm not a Star Wars geek, but what's the little ions or atoms that the force is supposed to be made of? Midichlorians. Yeah, right? Like somehow, like the whole idea of Star Wars is that you can just stretch out with your feelings and somehow align yourself with the midichlorians, right? And it just flows through you, right? And somehow we take that approach to the Holy Spirit, like somehow we can manipulate him. He's a person. And with a person, you get to know them. With a person, you learn to trust them. With a person, you find out what their interests are. So do you know that the Holy Spirit is a person? The Holy Spirit has a mind. The Holy Spirit loves. Which means that there are things that the Holy Spirit doesn't love. The Holy Spirit actually hates some things. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, he doesn't speak on his own. He hears what the Father is saying, and then he speaks what he hears the Father saying. The Holy Spirit can be pleased. The Holy Spirit guides and leads. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would testify to you of me, and he will remind you of the things that I've said. The Holy Spirit searches out the deep things in the mind of the Father. The Holy Spirit grieves. The Holy Spirit prays. The Holy Spirit comes alongside. That's what advocate means, one who comes alongside you. This is the person of the Holy Spirit. And when Paul talks about the Spirit giving gifts to the church, he says he distributes them as he determines, as he sees fit, as he sees best, he gives them out. You know, in the Old Testament, we saw the glory of God in a cloud or a pillar of fire. In the New Testament, we see the glory of God in the person of Jesus. And in this church age, the glory of God is revealed through the person of the Holy Spirit in and on and through his people, relating to the person of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, it says, all who are sons of God are led by the person of God, led by the Holy Spirit. Which in a lot of ways really simplifies a lot of this stuff. Like my just being a son or a daughter before you just means I have to be led by this person that I'm supposed to be getting to know, learning to trust, relating to. This person with a mind, with emotions, with a will. This person who leads and guides and teaches. This person who searches out. Lead me. I want to be a son. Lead me. I want to be a daughter. Lead me. What are you thinking about? What pleases you? What grieves you? What are you praying for? Lead me. Paul talks, he gives us this instruction. He says, walk in the Spirit. Which I've always, you know, you get these romantic ideas of someone who just sort of walks around in a trance and always up in a third heaven and seeing weird spiritual stuff. But the idea of walking, it's just your everyday life. Like, I mean, we can really demystify this because it's just your everyday life. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in God. Walk in the mind of the Spirit. Walk in the love of the Spirit. Walk in the generosity of the Spirit. Walk in what pleases the Spirit. Walk in what the Spirit is highlighting. Pray with what the Spirit is praying for. If you don't know what he's praying for, he's a person and you can ask him and he will lead you. So a number of years ago, we had some of our Salt and Light leadership come. We belong to what's called a family of families, Salt and Light, and they provide just sort of headship and leadership over our body here. But we invited them. We try and get them here once a year. Of course, COVID messed everything up. But they came, and we invited them to speak to our young people. And I showed up, and I had my Bible ready, and I was ready for a word from the Lord. We're going to get into the Scripture. And man, he's just going to feed us. This is going to be awesome. And he sits down with these young people and he says, what's your biggest problem? He said, write it down on a piece of paper. And so we just had a few minutes where we just sat there real quiet and everybody's writing down. I said, okay, here's the second question. What does the Holy Spirit want you to do about it? And this is teenagers. But every single one had an answer. Every single one heard what the Holy Spirit wanted them to do about their biggest problem. And then he opened the word and said, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Teenagers. As a father, I know little kids can do this as well. Grown-ups can do this. Walk in the Spirit. How is he leading you? How is he guiding you? How is he teaching you? How is he reminding you of what Jesus has said? How is he praying towards this situation? What grieves him about this? What does he delight in? What does he love about it? What excites him? Walk in the Spirit. And it's really no more complicated than that. For all we make of the hype and the nervousness around the Holy Spirit, it's just God saying, will you let me lead you? Will you let me teach you? Can I give you instruction? Can I tell you what's on my mind? It's a person that we're called to relate to. Guys, this is just walking in the Spirit. It's just every day. It's just moment by moment. We can take this. Anybody have a set time that they go over their finances? Weekly, monthly? Nobody. Okay, let's have another sermon. Does anybody have a set time that they look at their finances? Very good. Good. Much better. right? Do you know that the Holy Spirit wants to work in your finances? In fact, it's probably one of the biggest, that's why we do a whole other series on finances as well as relationships. It's a big area. It's a big concern to God, how we steward what He's given to us. What better time to invite the Holy Spirit to lead us? How do I manage what you've given me? You've entrusted this to me. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And you've entrusted these resources to me, and I want to sow them to your kingdom. How would you have me do this? Give me wisdom. Lead me. Guide me. Hold my hand. I don't know what I'm doing. This is a mess. That's why we love the Holy Spirit when He says, or the Word of God when it says, you know what, if you lack wisdom, ask. It'll be given to you generously without finding fault. You made the mess, but He's so willing to give wisdom. You've gotten lost, but He's so willing to give light and truth and speak. He's so willing to lead and teach, and He doesn't say, you've made a mess, just lay there in it. Hope you figure it out. No, you're sons and daughters, and you're led by the Spirit of God, the person who just so simple. It's every day. It's not mystical. It's just inviting His leadership into every area of our lives. God, what do I do with this woman that you've given to me? I don't understand her. She's a mystery. How do I be a husband like you're a husband? We invite His leadership into every area of our lives. God, I've got this coworker that drives me crazy. How can I speak life and peace? How can I be a minister of your peace? How can I show your light to them? We're inviting the leadership of the Holy Spirit into our lives. God, I've got this boss and I can't seem to do anything right for him. Would you help me? Lord, would you help me to control my mouth? Help me to keep it shut when it needs to be shut. Give me wisdom. Help me, Holy Spirit. I've got this big project, and would you help me? Would you give me wisdom? Would you give me strength? Would you give me clarity? Help me to lead. Well, Holy Spirit, lead me. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I've got this neighbor. Right? Maybe they drive you crazy. Maybe you just want to reach them. Would you open a door? Show me the opportunity. Lead me. I want to walk in you. Share with me what you feel for them. I want to feel what you feel for them. Holy Spirit, lead me. Teach me. Hold my hand. All of us have an area of discipline that we'd love to grow in. Holy Spirit, would you help me get up earlier? Holy Spirit, would you help me to go to bed earlier? Holy Spirit, would you help me in this, grow in this way that I know that I need to, and I'm so weak in. Teach me. I call it breaking the code, where you gotta, there's a way I can do this. I know there is. I've just got to figure it out. Holy Spirit, help me. Right? If I need to be doing this more or saying no to this or that, lead me. Hold my hand. Holy Spirit. It's the fullness of God and His fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in us, leading us, teaching us, guiding us, working in us. This is what we have. This is what Christ died to accomplish. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. And He's here. And it's not this big, sometimes it is, and when it is, it's awesome. But most importantly, it's just every day. This is praying without ceasing. This is walking in the Spirit. This is being led by the Spirit. This is what sonship and daughtership looks like. And I know that's a word I just made up, but this is what it is. So let's have the worship team come forward. And normally we try and end with a time of ministry to one another, but I want to end with a time of ministry from the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit, He's been praying for you. The person of the Holy Spirit loves you. The person of the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish what the Word of God sent forth from the Father wants to do in your life. And so we're just going to pray together in this time. I'm going to just talk us through just some time of prayer. The team's just going to play instrumentally. And we're just going to spend some time corporately together talking to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do just what that minister did with the youth. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.